Weddings are a wonderful fairy tale day, aren't they? This, not the least of them. The handsome groom, at least there are two women who think so in this building, and the beautiful bride, of which there are a whole total community that thinks so in this building. The attractive bridesmaids, the unusually well-presented groomsmen, the proud parents, and the scrubbed-up guests, declaring of promises with age-old and wonderful words, symbols of rings and hands and kisses. Well, a kiss, anyway. The rest of the afternoon you spend being kissed, but the one that mattered, mattered. But of course there's much more to a wedding than just this. It's a solemn promise, public expression of human unity that is the profound basis of all society. A wedding is about a marriage. And wonderful as wedding days are, marriage is real, the important stuff. It's a lifelong commitment that this beautiful wedding expresses of a man and a woman in the establishment of a new home. For it's out of this commitment that a new family is made. A new family that is directly connected and derived from two other families. And prepares the way for children to be brought into the world, not just into a nuclear family, but into a family of families that make up a society. It's not just that we have mum and dad, we have uncles and aunts and cousins and brothers and sisters and nephews and nieces and grandparents and grandchildren. And this little microcosm of this couple we see this day are part of the whole web and fabric of our society, built on the basis of just these kinds of marriages. But the Bible readings that Jordan and Emily have chosen for us to hear today, as they've chosen for themselves to hear today, and therefore for me to speak about today, go even further than this. And they say that behind this human commitment is even a bigger picture and reality, that of God's intention and purpose for humanity and God's relationship with his people. Look with me, if you would, firstly at that reading that John brought to us from Mark chapter 10, back just a page. For there we see that marriage is not just a modern invention of Western society or part of the British Empire or something like that of the 19th century. It's not a human invention at all. For halfway through, if you've got good eyes from verse 6 onwards, we read, "But from the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. And therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh." So they're no longer two, but one flesh. "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." Jesus says, from the beginning of creation, this was God's design. This was God's action, and it is God's action today. He has created men and women to be united. To be united in one flesh, to be united like this. And God is the one who unites us. He brings us together. He draws us together. He knits us together as one flesh. And then when we look over the page at the readings in the book of Revelation, we see that this divine creation, right from the beginning, finds its fulfillment right at the end. For in Revelation 19, there will be another wedding that we're going to be invited to. The wedding uniting Christ and his church. For just as a husband is to love his wife and lay down his life for her, so Christ the Lamb has laid down his life sacrificially for his church, his bride. Just as the bride has got ready for the day, and you have, and it's beautiful, so the church gets ready for that day, not with the fine and beautiful clothing, but of the righteous actions that the church should be putting into practice. For as we read in Revelation 21, the second of those sections from Revelation, we read down there in little verse 5, we read down there in verse 3, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God." That is, when the heavenly city comes down into this world and time and eternity finish together, then for all eternity we will be living in the same family with God. He will be with us. We will be with him. That is, heaven is not so much a place you go to. Heaven is a relationship with God that you have even now in the gospel of Jesus and will have on into eternity. Marriage then becomes a picture of that reality, that true reality of relationship between God and his people, between Christ and his church, of which this marriage that we've witnessed today is just a small sign and token to us of this bigger reality. And his marriage is more than just a way that some humans choose to live. Marriage is the way God has created us to live. And it symbolizes the way in which God relates to us. So when a group of Jewish lawyers called Pharisees tried to test Jesus out on a fine point of divorce law, Jesus cut to the chase about what marriage is all about. It's God's plan, not ours. For it's the very nature of the way he has created us. Man and woman is how he has created us. And he's created us as men and women to live in sexual unity, becoming one flesh. A relationship of such unity that it takes precedence over parents. That's very hard, that one, because when you have your baby, it's an expression and an extension of your own body. How can you be closer than that? Well, they are. That is their commitment, to leave father and father, to come to a new unity that even precedes that of parents and children, but out of which, of course, creates the grandchildren and turns parents into grandparents and widens our family connection and builds the unity of our society as a whole. It's God's plan, not ours, this relationship that God creates. And that's why Jesus says in those incredibly harsh words, but really important words that are there, "What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." None of us must ever become between this man and this woman, for their unity is the unity that God is making. And nobody must interfere with that unity. That is a fundamental of society. It is built on this unity of two people in sexual relationship for lifetime. And what we are witnesses of here today is two people committing themselves to each other in the terms in which God has created us and in which God relates to us. So what we're witnessing is God uniting them with each other for a lifetime. Many, very sadly, in the Western world today have turned their back on God and they've chosen to live life their own way, as if they are not created by God and as if they're not dependent upon God and as if they're not dependent upon anybody else. Individuals, autonomous people who just are running their own life their own way, doing their own thing, whatever they choose to do. Interestingly, it's the issue of marriage, sexual relationships, that are at the very forefront of this denial of God's sovereignty over their life. It's the issue which has very frequently led them to renounce God, and it's the issue which very frequently they choose to express going their own way. Sadly, because in our society today, it is the area of greatest heartache, greatest confusion, greatest hostility, hurt, hatred and misery. The area of life which God has created for our pleasure, for our safety, for our security, by which we can express our love and our service of one another and our joy, has become for many an unhappy bondage of self-centered alienation. A whole generation has been educated by Hollywood and the media, educated by a group of people whose only expertise in marriage and family life is that they've had more marriages and more divorces than anybody else. But today, we have witnessed something completely different to that. We have witnessed Jordan and Emily making their promises from a completely different educational basis. Promises based in the Bible. Promises of two Christian people who want to build their life together as they have built their lives separately up until this point, based upon the promises of God, and who wish to participate in that wonderful blessing of God's creation of a husband and a wife united as one flesh by God himself. And that's why Craig has invited us all, that we will stand with them in this, that we will pray for them in this, that we will help them in any way in which we can in this. For these are great promises. For this is God's way of living. And so, Jordan, and so, Emily, as we're going to proceed, we pray for you both that what you have promised this day before God and before us all, you may by God's Spirit fulfill to your life's end. Amen.